satanic messages in rock music, an important program designed to enlighten and expose the hidden and satanic messages in today's rock music. The following 60-minute interview features Pastor Michael Mills, Minister of Youth and Evangelism of the Family Altar Chapel in Battle Creek, Michigan. Because of Pastor Mills' extensive research, he has been able to be part of the Family Altar Evangelistic Outreach Team with churches, youth groups, and assemblies state and nationwide. It has drastically changed lives and been so informative that parents and teenagers alike have been affected. Michael was interviewed on a rock station recently, and they reported the astounding effect has not been seen in the history of their radio station. Not long ago, the local school district had to stop classes and let students talk about this astounding message that was found in rock music. With this interview, you'll be learning about the mesmerizing beat of rock music, the subliminal effect that is so effectively being used in today's music. You will hear of the subconscious and conscious effects of famous rock stars and what they have to say about the mind and music. We'll be back with this interview after this message.
We're happy that you join us for this enlightening interview with Michael Mills that relates to both young people and parents. The musical compositions used on this tape are used solely for the purpose of illustration and comment. We'd like to inform you that this interview is being recorded and is available in cassette. Stay tuned. At the end of the interview, I'll be back to share with you how to order your cassette tape of hidden and satanic messages in rock music. And now, the interview.
Thank you very much. We're excited about what we're going to hear. And Michael, I want to thank you for granting us this interview. I know you're on a busy schedule sharing this message across the country, and we're just glad to have you at our microphones.
Thank you, Donnie. I'm happy to be here, and I share in the concern that you have for your listening audience in regards to the subject.
I don't want to waste any valuable time, so I'm going to get right down to the business of why we're here. I want to ask you in a few minutes to more or less give us a countdown of the many different groups that you've researched and have found, and the tie-in with the occult and hidden messages and so forth. There are going to be other sobering things that you have found, but before you do, I'd like to set this situation up by asking you a few questions that will make us all the more aware, our listening audience, of this mind-stealing topic. So, first of all, I'd like to ask you, since music is something we listen to and absorb, would rock music be dealing with the mind?
Absolutely is. The best way to describe how it's dealing with the mind is to let the rock stars tell you themselves. And I quote, some 15 years ago, Mick Jagger said this of the Rolling Stones, "We're moving into the minds of people, so are the new groups." Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills and Nash said this, "Popular music is a popular way of conditioning the way people think." And Jimi Hendrix said before he died, "Because music is a spiritual thing, you can hypnotize people with music. And then when they're at their weakest point, you can preach to their subconscious." And he's saying Voodoo Child and God's Made Love. So more than a decade ago, music groups have been made aware that through their music, they can inject any type of message that they want, and our mind totally absorbs it.
With that in mind, do you believe in many instances that the message they sing is actually for Satan?
For Satan, for homosexuality, for sadomasochism, which I guess all stems back to Satan. But I believe as this interview unfolds, Donnie, that we'll definitely be made aware that it is for Satan.
What can you tell us about Satan that would help us better understand his reasoning for using rock music as a medium?
Well, Satan once was the highest angel ever created as Lucifer. And he was created, as it tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, and had the ability to make music right from his body. So with these marvelous things he was created with, he wanted to be like God. And as we know, he was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels in heaven. And God condemned him to eternity in hell. But you know, that time hasn't come yet, as the Bible tells us. So if he's not in heaven, and he's not in hell, what I like to tell young people as I'm explaining to them about rock music, that if he's not in either one of those places, where is he? And my answer to that is what the Bible says. Job of the Old Testament says, Satan goes to and fro in the earth and walks up and down it. Peter in the New Testament says he's like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 tells us, Satan is the prince in the power of the air. So with his beauty, his wisdom, and his musical ability, I believe he's going to try to tempt us in his deceiving way and completely absorb our minds to keep us away from the penetrating message and the saving power of Jesus Christ.
So in other words, Satan is crafty enough to meet kids and adults right where they live.
I believe he is, yes.
What made you want to research this material so intensely? What was it that you felt so strongly about it that you felt that it was something that you had to do something about?
All right, Donnie, as I work with kids every day, I find sometimes a literal force field around them, a force field of the lyrics of the songs that they hear from AC/DC, from Black Sabbath, from Blue Oyster Cult, from the Rolling Stones. So many times we come to young people and tell them not to listen to rock music. Parents tell them not to listen to rock music. And what they need is proof. That's why I want to research this so intently. I want them to know that we know what we're talking about with this. You know, young people wake up in the morning with their alarm clock ringing out the sounds of the rock music. They go to school listening to it. They listen to it at school. They come home listening to it. They go home and do homework to it. And even they fall asleep at night listening to it, and the cycle starts all over again. It's hard to penetrate when they're listening to this, so I wanted to really approach them in a positive way with what I knew I was talking about.
Getting back on the mind and subconscious, how do you feel that the subconscious is actually being affected?
I believe the subconscious mind is being fought for. And I believe if we leave it open, Satan is going to jump on the chance to get it. And through my research, I have found that the subconscious mind is being successfully affected by the repetition of beat and lyric as being affected through a subliminal message.
All right, let's talk about the subliminal message. In a moment, I want you to elaborate a little bit on the repetition, the beat, and the lyric of the music.
It is a well-known fact in the rock industry that it is the drummer's job to keep that repetitious, mesmerizing beat to continually come at you. In a song that you'll hear in a few minutes from AC/DC that we're going to play for the listening audience, the lyrics of Devil and Devil and Me are repeated repetitiously some 18 times. In the Beatles' John Lennon, in his song Love Is All You Need, he had that repeated in that song 50 times in 2.5 minutes. Even in advertisement, I've heard recently on the radio, McDonald's advertising for their food, they sing repetitiously, Quarter Pounder, French Fries, Thick Shake, Icy Coke, and they keep doing it over and over again. Now, certainly their message isn't as bad as what we're talking about in rock music, but the point I'm getting at is advertisers know the effectiveness that they are getting with repeating things. It sticks in your mind. Now, in regards to the beat, I've been keeping my eye on two British groups that have been rising very fast. And the reason they're rising is because they have a new peculiar beat. And this peculiar beat is considered the now beat and the beat of the future, as it was described on Solid Gold not too long ago. Now, these two groups are Adam and the Ant and Bow Wow Wow. Can you believe the names of those groups?
I suppose if we'll accept Kiss, we'll accept anything.
That's right. Now, both of these groups have injected this Burundi beat. Now, when I say Burundi, Burundi is a village in East Africa where they have voodoo sessions. And these groups have actually taped the beat of the drums that these villagers use in summoning evil spirits and have injected it right into their music. And I heard this interviewed on Solid Gold with Adam and the Ant. This Burundi beat was written about in the New York Times. And I want to share that with you. And I'm reading from the New York Times. The Burundi beat helps Bow Wow Wow along, yet that appropriation of the sound Bow Wow Wow and Adam and the Ant and several other British bands poses yet another moral conundrum. The original source of this tribal rhythm is a recording of 25 drummers made in the village of East Africa. So with that in mind, I would like to play a portion of a song that they have. Now, what the song is called Bow Wow Wow, and the title of the cut is called Prince of Darkness. Now, to set this up, I want you to remember that the drum beats that you hear in this tape excerpt are drums that are used in voodoo sessions. Now, you're not going to believe the words of this song, but and again, remember, this is a new group that's on the market, and they are hot. They are moving up, and they're being sold by the millions. And as a matter of fact, they were in concert in Ann Arbor not more than a couple weeks ago. Now, I just want you to listen to it as we play it and listen to the beats. Now, the first part of the words that you'll hear in the song aren't real audible, but they'll begin to make sense They'll begin to make sense in a moment. Did you hear what they said? They sang in the lyrics, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the darkest of them all?" And then another voice came on and said, "The Prince of Darkness." And then it was said, "What's its name?" And then it said, "A fallen angel from paradise who's going to hell. Burn, burn." And what I've done, so it's more audible, as I slow the speed of the song, portion of this, so you can hear the words, down to a slower 33 RPM. Now pay attention again to the beat of the drums, the lyrics, and then listen as the song starts to tail off. You'll begin to hear screams in the background, which is a symbolism of people becoming possessed as this being sung.
I would say at this point that is absolutely incredible to hear those primitive drum beats and the overt and blatant reference to Satan.
That is unbelievable. Every time I hear it, it gives me, I guess the word to describe would be the creeps. Sometimes late at night I have to play this. I'm working on taping it, and it's not fun to play that type of beat after midnight, believe me. But if you think that's unbelievable, I've got more of the song for you. What you're going to hear right now, they're going to say, in the regular speed that it is played, "So open the door and let Satan in, the Prince of Darkness." They're actually talking about letting him in for possession. And then again, I slowed it down to 33, so you can hear it again more audibly. Coming into the end of this song, "Prince of Darkness," what you are going to hear is the girl's voice coming out of what you would think would be an orgasmic sound, and incidentally, she is only 15 years old. And then they sing, "Open the door and let me in. I am the Prince of Darkness. Open the door for Satan. Please let go." Now, mind you, this is what they're trying to portray here is Satan singing in the first person. Listen to this. And then it again, it's going to go into the 33 speed so you can hear it clear. Oh.
That is absolutely sobering to hear those words so blatantly spoke.
That's
the only word that I can think of, is they're confronting the issue with such just straightforward actions. Now, I know you have a lot of other tape excerpts which indicate some more subliminal messages and some satanic messages. We'll be dealing with that momentarily. But I wonder if you would describe or define a subliminal message for us.
A subliminal message is your conscious mind hears or sees one thing, but your subconscious mind completely picks the other up. And our minds are like a computer. It stores everything. And the thing that really upsets me with the beats, and as we'll find out through subliminal effects later on in this interview, that they're messing with our minds and we don't even know it. I believe subliminal persuasion is as close to mind control as you can get, and it's used also effectively throughout the rock music.
Just before you make us aware of the hidden lyrics that you have researched and the singers and groups, just before we hear these hidden and satanic messages you have on tape, can you perhaps bring us up to date on some new lyrical jargon that we wouldn't otherwise be aware of?
Yes, there's some new words that are being described very blatantly. Let me give an example. In the lyrics of songs, when you hear them sing about engine, motor, or machine, they're referring to sex. When you hear them sing about funky, they're referring to sexual odors. When they sing about groovy, they're talking about the position of intercourse. When they sing of get off, they're singing about the goal of lovemaking. And then you hear them talk about and sing about groupies, they're talking about rock prostitutes. And as we talk about things like that, sometimes this can come across unnecessarily blunt. But I think it's about time that young people and adults alike find out exactly what is going on in the rock industry. And the only way we're going to being able to make people aware is just being frank about what they're doing.
The really important thing to realize is that these are words that we sing with the radio every day.
That's right.
And we don't even realize what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to be informing us of the different rock groups who are tied in with the occult. Now, dealing with the occult, we know that satanic worship, but what should we look for, what should we listen for and be at least on our guard for that would indicate satanic worship?
Okay, as I describe album covers and you listen to tape excerpts like the one we just heard, and you listen to the lyrics and things, in regards to satanic worship, many things are involved in satanic worship. And these are things I want you to listen for in lyric and as I describe picture. You'll be hearing things about blood sacrifice, death, occultic symbols, the upside-down cross, fire, possession, spirits, ghosts, things of snakes and serpents. And listen closely when you're going to hear me talk about goat's heads, distorted faces, crystal balls, levitation, darkness. All these things are involved in satanic worship that are saturated throughout rock music. And these are the things that I'm going to be describing.
For those of you who might have just joined us late in the broadcast, we're talking with Michael Mills, Minister of Youth and Evangelism at the Family Altar Chapel in Battle Creek, Michigan. We're discussing hidden and satanic messages in rock music, and we want to inform you to stay with us following the interview so we can let you know how to obtain a cassette copy of this interview. So, Michael, without interruption, would you share with us around 25 groups and what you have found out about them?
To start the countdown, I'd like to share with you one of Black Sabbath's hot-selling albums. The title, We Sold Our Soul to Rock and Roll. The question I ask young people, who did they sell their soul to for rock and roll? Jesus tells us, no man can serve two masters, for he will love the one and hate the other. In the next few minutes, you'll be made aware of group after group in rock who will make clear through their music who their master is. If you are a teenager or adult listening, and Jesus is your master, and you have a steady diet of rock, I urge you to listen intently and learn of the many groups and singers who outright worship Satan through the music that you listen to. Take note of group after group after group who are tied in with the occult. And incidentally, the songs on this particular album, We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll, are The Wizard, Sweet Leaf, Children of the Grave, Fairies Wear Boots, and Warning from Black Sabbath. The revolutionary Beatles, who claim they were more popular than Jesus Christ, is no longer together, but their music effectively lives on. In Abbey Road, they has a picture of the four Beatles walking across the street. And the third Beatle back is Paul McCartney. And as we look at that album, there's something different about him than the rest of the men. He's walking across the street in bare feet. Now, the reason behind that is in London or in England, it's tradition to bury someone in bare feet. That only added to the rumor that the Beatles were trying to spread that Paul was dead. And the reason I say that is because at the end of one of their songs, they subliminally inject in a faded voice, "Paul is dead." Now, I want you to listen to that for a moment. They said, "I buried Paul," to try to confirm the rumor that Paul was dead. Now, it goes further than that, because the Beatles, through their lyrics and lifestyles, have introduced millions to transcendental meditation and Hare Krishna. They have glorified drug use through songs like "Strawberry Fields Forever." Strawberry Fields. How did that glorify drug use? What they're talking about, the strawberry fields are the red marks that are left in your arm from withdrawing and putting in the needle that would puncture your arm. Those red marks are the strawberry fields that they're referring to. They glorify drug use through the song "Hey Jude." Listen. Remember to let her under your skin, then you'll begin to make it better, better, better. What do you suppose they're talking about to let under your skin to make it better? Then they came out with "Lucy in the Skies with Diamonds." They advertised that song with the abbreviations on billboards as LSD. The Beatles sang about their Lord. They sang "My Sweet Lord." Many of us have sung along with that song. But in the middle of the song, they subliminally inject who their Lord really is. First, I want you to familiarize yourself with what the song sounds like. I know that doesn't sound all that bad. But I want you to listen closely, because when you hear the next portion of the song, instead of the alleluias in between "My Sweet Lord," they sing who their Lord is, and it's Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is a form of Hinduism, and that's who their Lord is. Listen. Example of subliminal injection. They go on to sing in the song, after they declare who their Lord is, Hare Krishna, they sing, "My sweet Lord, I really want to see you. I really want to see you. AC/DC is one of the hottest selling groups in the rock industry today. Every record store manager that I talked to, I asked, "Who is your hottest selling group? What is your hottest selling album?" Every time that I've interviewed a manager, they have without hesitation told me AC/DC. First of all, what does AC/DC stand for? On the street, we're talking about AC/DC stands for bisexual. On our radios, we have an AC and a DC, an alternating current and a direct current. Well, they've tried to imply the same, that it doesn't matter what type of sex they have. And this is the type of song that is saturated, or type of group that has saturated elementary schools. You go into an elementary school today and you will find 8 and 9 year olds throughout the school wearing AC/DC t-shirts and hats. One of their recent albums is called "If You Want Blood." Let me describe the album cover for you. It has a picture of one of the singers with a guitar, the neck of the guitar jammed into his stomach. blood is coming out of his stomach, running down his body, and his mouth is open in contortions like he's painfully being killed. If you want blood, remember what I talked about as far as demonic worship, blood sacrifices? If you want blood, you turn the album cover over, and on the back, you see, you've got it. And it shows him lying dead, alone on the platform, with the neck of the guitar sticking out his back, and blood oozing out of both sides of his body. And this is what our young people are listening to. Another album that they have is called Highway to Hell. And it pictures the group standing together, with one of the group members having horns protruding right out of his head, and he's holding a tail. I wonder who he's trying to impersonate. They have songs like Highway to Hell, Rock and Roll Damnation, Let There Be Rock, and Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be. Their newest release is called For Those About to Rock, We Salute You. And what I've done is I've taken a few tape excerpts of this album, For Those About to Rock, We Salute You. About to Rock, We Salute You. They repetitiously sing that over and over again. That is the name of their new album. Included on that album is called Inject the Venom. I want you to get a piece of what this sounds like. By the time that we get done playing these taped excerpts on AC/DC, we will know exactly what type of venom they want to inject. The next song that it goes into is called Evil Walks. They sing, Evil walks, evil sleeps beside you, evil talks, evil's all around you. Listen. Sounds evil, doesn't it? Can you imagine hearing that at a much higher volume, at a decibel level that almost hurts your ears in a regular rock concert? The next part that I have on tape for you is I wanted to show you how much time they give a person who's listening to this message, who's getting this venom, to stop thinking about what they just heard. Now, I want to play the very end of this song of Evil Walks, and we're going to go right into the very next one, which is COD, Care of the Devil. Listen, there's only about 1 second in between the two songs. Not much time, is there? They don't give you a rest. The song that we just went into is called COD. I didn't know what COD meant until they played the song. COD means Care of the Devil. I talked about repetition, about getting a point across by repetitious lyrics. Well, in this song, they repetitiously said, the devil and the devil and me, some 18 times. I want to play a portion of this song for you so you can hear with the hottest selling group, one of the hottest selling groups in the rock market today, is playing for our 8 and 9 year olds and on up. Oh, AC/DC makes no hesitation in letting you know who they sing for, do they? Led Zeppelin, known for their hard raw rock sound and a definite tie-in with the occult, is responsible for the greatest rock hit of all of history, Stairway to Heaven. I'm going to play Satanic Message right on that song. Their lead singer admits to a fascination with black magic, and their lead guitarist, Jimmy Page, admittedly owns a demon-possessed home from the Satanist Aleister Crowley. Page also owns his own occultic bookstore in London. One rock periodical told of an account of a groupie, which again is a rock prostitute, that went to their hotel where they were staying on tour. And I want to explain to you something that they did. They took this girl and they dumped a bucket of urine over her head. And there are other things that were done that I really don't want to explain right now. They have an album called Presence. Now, this is pictured on their album of a family sitting around a table, around an oddly shaped object in the middle of the table. And then you turn the record album over, and the picture shows a boy and a girl sitting at a teacher's desk. The teacher has her hand on the object and on his head, like she's drawing power from this object and putting it into the boy's head. Now, it looks kind of strange, but there's an explanation for it. Page said this about that oddly shaped object, and I quote, "The design is to symbolize the force that enables the group to so profoundly affect audiences, a power that is simply referred to as a presence. It sounds like they have an outside force helping them. The force that enables the group to so profoundly affect audiences. It also sounds like a piece of Star Wars. May the force be with you." I think we know what force they're talking about. Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, again, was voted the most popular tune of rock's history. Keep that in mind as I share this taped excerpt with you. In the lyrics of the song, they sing, "The Piper is calling you to join him. She's buying her stairway to heaven." We know that's not possible. And also they say, words have two meanings. They certainly do have two meanings. This is where the subliminal message comes in that we've been talking about in the previous interview. The subliminal message is a satanic message that was put on their record, Stairway to Heaven, in reverse. And what I mean by in reverse is by taking the record, putting it in a neutral position, and spinning the record backwards. The needle will go in the opposite direction. You say that, I've never heard of anything like that before. Probably not, but many, many people have. And this is what I'm talking about, that I believe that we can hear this with our subconscious mind, and you're going to hear it in a few moments. I want to explain to you what their message is. Now, we spun this backwards in a studio, and the tape of what we've got is about to come up. They sing backwards in human voices. Now, mind you, it made sense on both sides. It wasn't a bunch of garble on one side and played it in reverse and it made sense. It made sense on both sides. They sang in human voices in reverse, "Listen, we've been there." Then they sing in reverse now, "Because I live. Serve me. There's no escape in it. Satan. If we gotta live for Satan. Master Satan." The message that they have all together that they wanted you to hear in a subliminal way on the back or in reverse of Stairway to Heaven was this: "Listen, we've been there. Because I live, serve me. There's no escape in it. Satan. If we gotta live for Satan, Master Satan." Listen to it as they sing their message together. Further in the tape, I came across another part that made me throw my headphones right off my head. I couldn't believe what I heard. I kept thinking about the verse that describes hell in the Bible as a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. And that came to my mind when I heard this next sound, and it's opposite of the instrumental part in the prelude of Stairway to Heaven. Listen to this as it reminds you of the verse, a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. Again, another rock group who is tied definitely in with the occult. They had a definite message to give who they are serving through their music. Dan Fogelberg has an album out called The Innocent Age. It pictures an 8 or 9 year old mannequin girl laying up against a tombstone dead. In the songs he sings of ghosts, and in another album he sings of about a demon that is free. Rush is another group who uses the occultic symbol of the astrology five-pointed star. And they use it on all of their albums. In their album Moving Pictures, it shows a bunch of men or the group moving pictures into the building. But one of the pictures that is enlarged so you can see it clearly on the album cover shows a man burning at the stake looking up at the cross. They have another album called Hemispheres. It pictures a brain levitating off the ground. The album songs, Apollo, Bringer of Wisdom, Armageddon, Battle of the Heart and Mind, Jacob's Ladder, and Spirit of the Radio. And you know something? I believe they know a lot about Spirit of the Radio. And I say this with everything in my heart. Do not listen to the radio as you go to sleep. There is being so much work done now on sleep learning because your subconscious is totally open for suggestion. And many young people that I've talked to go to bed with the radio on and they are wide open for anything that is sung about. One group that we're going to talk about in a few minutes sings about a love teenage pack suicide. That is not something that I would like to hear as I'm falling asleep. There's a group called Lucifer's Friend. Lucifer's Friend. The title of the album? Sneak Me In. Sneak Me In. Another album, Prince. On that album cover, one of the phrases that are used, any Christian sentenced to die. A group called the Grateful Dead is considered an acid rock group. Now, when I say an acid rock group, that is described as a group that you like to listen to their type of music when you drop acid. They have an album out called The Grateful Dead Goes to Heaven. And I would love nothing more than to see the Grateful Dead go to heaven. But unless they change masters and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they'll never see heaven. Meatloaf, another group. They have an album called Bat Out of Hell. One of the songs that they have is Heaven Can Wait. Did you get that? Heaven Can Wait. The lead singer was quoted as saying, when I get on stage, I get possessed. Another rock group called Judas Priest. Their album title, Sin After Sin. Songs off that album, Hellbent for Leather, Evil Fantasies, Metal Gods, Saints in Hell, and Beyond the Realms of Death. Debbie Harry, or better known as Blondie, in her album Cuckoo, is pictured with spikes driven through her neck and face. And on other albums, she sings Angels on the Balcony, Rapture, Do the Dark, and Follow Me. No thanks. There's a group called the Rhythm Devils, and their album, The Apocalypse Now, is in session. And we know that Revelation is referred to as the apocalypse. Now, when I mention the name Ozzy Osbourne, for those of you who listen to rock and have a steady diet of rock, you're well familiar with that name. For those of you who are not that familiar, let me explain who he is as I explain what he looks like on his album cover. Now, picture this. The album cover is called Diary of a Madman. He is shown standing next to a table of a child sitting at a table with a pigeon laying over the edge of the table with a broken neck. He's standing with paint, with demonic type painted face. His clothes are ripped. His pants are split at the thigh, so you can see some sort of symbol that's on his leg. And he stands right in front of an upside down cross in contempt of Christianity. You turn the album over and you see more contempt of Christianity, as he now still stands under the upside down cross. But he stands in a white outfit next to his dead body as he has risen from his dead body. And that's what he likes to portray on his album covers. Now, that's not all. What he's got on the back of that album is a total subliminal message. On the album, you see a demonic face somehow implanted on the whole back of the cover. Now, I've been to different record stores, and I looked at that album. I have had others look at that album, and they have not seen that until we blew it up into a slide form. I recently shared my slide presentation with a member of a Chicago rock band. And when we came to this part of the subliminal effect with Ozzy Osbourne, he came completely out of his chair, could not believe what he saw. At the end of the presentation, he saw group after group who will uplift the name of Satan. He got on his knees and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Ozzy Osbourne said in a rock magazine he has been compelled to see The Exorcist 26 times. Osbourne said in the 78 February issue of Hit Parader, "I don't know if I'm a medium for some outside force. Whatever it is, frankly, I hope it's not what I think. Satan." There's a group called Spirit, and on the cover of their album, they have a face of a girl that looks to be about in her early teens, of a distorted face, a face that we have seen many times on television of what looks to be a possessed person. The Electric Light Orchestra, or better known as ELO, who had a part of the soundtrack for a Olivia Newton-John's movie, Xanadu, has a hidden message for you to listen to in their album, Face the Music. On their album cover, Face the Music, it has a picture of an empty electric chair, still smoking as if someone was just executed, and they are now into eternity. Now I want you to listen to this music in Face the Music as it is played at its normal speed, and as it is played in its normal sequence, as it should be in the right direction. Now, we took that sound and we played it in reverse. And here's the message that we got.
The music is reversible, but time.
Music is reversible, but time is not. Turn back, turn back, turn back. What are they trying to tell us? Further on in the tape, we find that they had some eerie alleluias. Now, this just didn't sound like a typical church choir. I want you to listen to this. ELO also has some other songs. Here's what they sing: Fire on High, Can't Get It Out of My Head, Evil Woman, Knight Rider, and Strange Magic. The group Sound has an album out, and it pictures what we would conceive of a biblical story of Daniel in the lion's den. On the front, they show a man dressed like Daniel in biblical times, with the lions looking at him. Then on the back of the cover, it shows the flesh-eaten bones, again in contempt of Christianity and what the Bible stands for we know that Daniel walked out of that lion's den. But in that album, here are the cuts of the songs: Fatal Flaw, The Fire, Silent Air, Possession, and A New Dark Age. Newsweek magazine revealed that Fleetwood Mac's hit Rhiannon was dedicated to a Welsh witch. Stevie Nicks of the group has been known to come out on stage and dedicate some of her songs to the witches of the world while wearing a witch's black hat. Kiss, or sometimes known or referred to as Kings in Satanic Service, with sadomasochistic chains and demonic painted faces, they jump on stage, some wearing crosses, puking blood, singing, "God of Rock and Roll, We'll Steal Your Virgin Soul." Maybe the virgin souls they are referring to are the 8 and 9-year-olds that they have comic books directed to in which they are referred to as demons. The paraphernalia that are available to kids in regards to KISS includes jeans, dolls, Halloween costumes, eyeshadow, shampoo, soap, cologne, necklaces, hats, belt buckles, and it's endless. The gross for 1 year of paraphernalia for KISS products is $117 million. One rock magazine calls them fire-breathing demons from rock and roll hell. Their comic book editor said this of the children's obsession with KISS, and I quote, "At first, parents' reaction will be total revulsion. Then they'll just shake their heads in dismay and go back to watching TV. Don't be that way, Christian parent." KISS had a television special which featured the groups exhibiting psychic phenomena, enlarging their boundaries of power to the supernatural. And this was directed to the children. Ex-KISS drummer Peter Criss said this. He boldly declared, "I find myself evil. I believe in the devil as much as God. You can use either one to get things done." Gene Simmons, one of the singers of the group, who is known for his extended serpent-like tongue, which incidentally is an ancient pagan symbol for demonic worship, said, and I quote again, "If God is hot stuff, why is he afraid to have other gods before him? I've always wanted to be God." He was also known of boasting to People magazine of sleeping with 1,000 women. A Detroit rock promoter said this of KISS in Circus magazine, "It's almost like a Hitler rock, because that audience, because of their beat, they're mesmerized by the music. They have that audience hypnotized." Recently, a teenage Christian girl came to me complaining of her room turning almost eerie and a deathly cold. She's been having other things strange happening to her. I asked her at that time what type of music she was listening to, and she said she is totally obsessed with KISS. And I said, "How obsessed?" She said she had 14 albums of KISS in her room, a 6-foot poster of the group in her room. She says, "It's getting to the point where I can't go to sleep without listening to them as I fall asleep. She says, I can't even do my homework. I know my parents are worried about me." She turned her life, turned her music over to Jesus Christ. Since then, she's had total freedom. She burned those records, and she hasn't had a problem like that since. KISS is also known for their repetitious heavy metal sound, a repetitious hypnotic beat. With that in mind, I want to share with you another tape excerpt from the Beatles Revolution No. 9 as they repetitiously repeat number 9, number 9. Number 9.
Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9.
We reversed that number 9 because it seemed that there would be a message there, and there was. The Beatles had a message for you to hear in their Revolution No. 9. Opposite of that, they say, "Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man.
Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man."
From the Beatles Revolution No. 9. The Eagles, known for their southern country rock blend, received their name from a major spirit in the Indian cosmos. The founder of the group is Satanist Carlos Castaneda, for which he has formed the group for his 1969 Satanic Coven, which was sung about in the hit Hotel California. For those of you who have that album, I want you to look inside of the album, and inside you see a picture of the group and a lot of people standing inside of the lobby of the Hotel California. But you look closely up in the upper left-hand corner in the balcony, and you will see a figure which represents Carlos hanging in mock crucifixion off the balcony. You can't see it unless you look for it, but it is there. In their hit Hotel California, they share about, through their lyrics, about the Satanic Coven that was formed in 1969.
We haven't had that feeling yet since 1969. called up the captain. Please bring me my wine. We haven't had that spirit here since 1969. When the Hotel California became a satanic coven, what they're implying here is they kicked out the Holy Spirit, which is represented as wine that we take in communion. In the beginning of the song, they say, or sing, this could be heaven or this could be hell. They also sing about it at the very end of their song. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. It sounds exactly what hell is going to be like, and they want to sing about it. Their hit, One of These Nights, has the singer searching for the devil who possesses both desires and demons. And they also sing Journey of the Sorcerer. Santana has an album called Abraxas. Abraxas seemingly is a name that doesn't quite make sense, but they explained exactly what it meant on the back of their album. It is a name of a demon. Listen to what they said as they described it on the album. We stood before it and began to freeze inside from the exertion. We worshipped it, prayed to it. We called it mother, called it whore and slut, called it our beloved Abraxas. That is the group Santana. I believe there is no difference between a record like this and a satanic Bible.
Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones are taking the country by storm. These popular rock idols claim the unofficial anthem for Satanists with sympathy for the devil. They also have other albums which are His Satanic Majesty's Request and Goathead Soup, in which one song is Dancing with Mr. D, which is about a graveyard romp with the devil. In that album they have a poster insert, which is of a severed goat's head floating in a red soup in a witch's cauldron. I again remind you that a goat's head is a universal symbol for demonic worship. They promote sadomasochism through their songs When the Whip Comes Down, Black and Blue, and Beast of Burden, which he sings, Ain't I Rough Enough, Ain't I Tough Enough. Keith Richards of the Stones said, there are black magicians who think we are acting as unknown agents for Lucifer. David Bowie sings and dresses and openly proclaims his homosexuality. In an interview, he said that he purchased a record player that was capable of playing his music in reverse, as his album cut Young Americans, he said, contained spiritistic chants. A drag term on the street for homosexual is Queen. The music group Queen has a message for you. In their album Night at the Opera, they sing Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. In their hit Another One Bites the Dust, their hidden message, in reverse, is some of us smoke marijuana. Listen to this tape excerpt. As I also note, the second time through, I left the tape on so you could hear through finger control me move the record frontwards and reverse for the message, some of us smoke marijuana.
Another one bites the dust. Ow! Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey! Another one bites the dust. Hey!
Bumper stickers declare, I'm possessed by Black Sabbath. With a name like that, what could you expect? One rock periodical said of Black Sabbath, they demonstrate almost a hellish power over the audience. Their album, Master of Reality, contains these songs, After Forever, Into the Void, Children of the Grave, and Lord of This World. To bring this countdown to a close, I'm going to share with you the lyrics of Lord of This World that is sung by Black Sabbath. Listen to these lyrical words. Your soul is ill, but you will not find a cure. Your world was made for you by someone above, but you chose evil ways instead of love. You made me master of the world where you exist. The soul I took from you was not even missed. Lord of this world, evil possessor, Lord of this world, he's your confessor now. You think I'm innocent, you've nothing to fear. You don't know me, you say, but isn't it clear? You turn to me in all your worldly greed and pride, but will you turn to me?
when it's your turn to die? Who you turn to when it's your turn to die? You have heard of group after group who worshipfully sing for Satan. They know he is real. God tells us he's not willing that any should perish. And that includes Mick Jagger and Alice Cooper and all of the rock singers. But they have a choice to make. What about you? What do you choose? If you are listening right now and do not want to spend eternity with Satan in the hell that's been sung about, the Bible tells us by faith to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you won't. John 3:16 tells us that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me, and with childlike faith to confess our sins and believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The Beatles say Hare Krishna is the way. Mick Jagger says Satan is the way. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right now, in the quietness of your heart, if you want to make sure you are going to heaven, pray a prayer something like this. Dear God, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Right now, I ask him to come into my heart and life and save me and to forgive me of my sins. Thank you, dear God, for saving me. Help me to be the kind of Christian you want me to be. If you have just accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, write us at the address that is going to be given in just a moment. We'd love to hear from you, and would like to send you some material to help you in your great new step of faith. Christian, claim that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. Throw out those records that you know uplift the name of Satan. Don't be caught listening to your satanic music at the moment Jesus Christ returns for you. Make Jesus number one in all aspects of your life, so you can lead others to know Jesus as their Savior. Donnie, I pray as a result of your concern and that of the radio station that this interview will literally change thousands of lives for Jesus Christ.
Michael, I would like to say in closing that we share in your sincere desire to see people's lives changed through what we have heard on this cassette, and we thank you for being with us. You have been listening to a presentation of Hidden and Satanic Messages in Rock Music. This is Donnie Price with Michael Mills. Thank you for joining.